presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
This is your roving reporter, about to interview a nose.
How do I look?
You're not on TV, nose. This is for radio.
But how do I sound?
Pretty stuffy. Why don't you use Four-Way Nasal Spray?
Is Four-Way the leading brand?
Not yet, nose.
Then why should I use it?
Because you can't buy faster decongestant relief than Four-Way Nasal Spray. And Four-Way can cost a lot less than the leading brand. A lot less. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast. You could interview me now.
Thanks, nose, but I just did.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Oh, hang it. I lost my specs. Where the deuce could they... I had them not 5 minutes past. What did I leave them in the... That's confounded. It's just time to begin. And oh, you're here, ladies and gentlemen. Ask your pardon. Not quite ready for you. Oh, I say, could you entertain yourselves with whatever comes to hand whilst I gather my papers and my wits and fiddle-faddle? May as well confess. I lost my spectacles. I can't read aloud this chapter of Vanity Fair till I... This is on my head. Push them back on my head. Well, we begin. Scarce any time lost at all. Captain Rawdon Crawley sits alone and bereft in the little house in Mulberry Row. What comfort in a glass or two of brandy? Well, without Becky, no comfort anywhere. Ah, he's thought of something to bring her nearer.
My Lady Greensleeves. Her music box. Play it. Bring her back.
Becky, you're here, but not here.
My angel, where are you? Time and enough you've had to travel to Chiswick and back. Gad, what if she never comes back? Never see those green eyes again. Never hear that pretty laugh.
Oh, Ron.
Accident. What if she suffered an accident? Ah, that pair of horses. Skittish. Hard to handle. They could run away, turn the carriage over. She's hurt. I know it. She lies on the ground in the snow.
Ron, oh, Ron, where are you? Come to me, I'm dying.
Where are you? Where? Oh, Becky, Becky. A message. She's dead.
Captain Crawley?
Yes?
A letter for you, sir.
Give it me.
Yes, sir.
Becky's script. Thank God, thank God. Here you are, my good man.
Oh, thank you, sir.
What if she writes she's finished with me? What am I to such as her? My dearest, my own husband.
We have not been asunder since we wed, and I know not how I can bear to be from you longer, but I shall try. I go to Queen's Crawley, where I shall stay the night, and return on the morrow... unless Sir Pitt does not want me there and sends me packing.
Not want her? What oaf wouldn't want her? Oh, damn. Would I'd stayed at the barracks. Can't endure this house without her.
should your father scorn me, I soon shall follow this letter. But if not, think of me this night as I shall think of you in my lonely bed. All went well at Chiswick. Mrs. Ricketts, bribed with money and cajoled by all the cunning words I could utter, agreed not to tell Mrs. Bute of my past. I daren't confess how many pounds I gave her. It may be Mrs. Bute won't even go to her, and the money ill spent, but well spent if those two meet. My darling, I send my love, and on the morrow make haste to return to your arms. Your Rebecca.
What a long, lone night ahead. But you're not hurt, my dove. Not on some roadside expiring. Who the devil is... Another messenger. She is hurt. Oh, God in heaven.
Good evening, Captain Rawdon.
Miss Briggs.
I've come with a message.
Aunt Matilda. She's dying. Egad, come in.
Oh, good listeners, I forbear to say who is dying, if anyone. But why, do you wonder, has timid Miss Briggs ventured forth into the night? Soon she shall answer.
Quick, Miss Briggs. Auntie. Is she sinking fast?
No, sir. Don't alarm yourself needlessly. Your auntie isn't dying.
Then why are you... Ah, she sent for me and Becky to come to her.
Oh,
what
sir.
Great good news you bring. But ought to have sent a servant. Oughtn't be out by your lone.
Oh, no. I couldn't send a servant.
Wanted to bring the news yourself. By Jove, how kind you are.
Sir, please.
I'll come with you at once. Pity Becky's not here, but don't tarry a minute. Auntie could change her mind. Sit down, whilst I fetch my coat and my hat.
Will you listen?
And I say, don't look happy. Not happy, we're forgiven.
You're not.
Not?
Oh, sir, I've come only to say, on the morrow, Mrs. Bute goes to Chiswick.
Miss...
I'm
damn.
Exactly sorry you thought what you thought.
Why the devil did you come out on a cold night to inform me she goes to Chiswick when already I knew it?
But, sir, you didn't know when.
What difference when?
A great deal, Captain Rawdon. 'Tis what I've come about. The difference.
I fear I don't follow, Miss Briggs.
Oh, I don't explain things very well. Matilda says I go round and round the mulberry bush before I ever... Oh, dear, I'm at it again. May I start over?
Pray do.
She goes to Chiswick tomorrow morning.
Quite.
The Reverend Bute has come from the country.
Knew he was coming. You told Becky.
Excuse me, sir. You didn't know the when of that either.
Do now.
He's come to guard your auntie from you and Miss Becky.
Knew that as well.
But he can't.
What?
Tis more of what I mean about the difference.
The mulberry bush, Briggs.
Oh, yes. The Reverend gentleman greatly fears Matilda. If I may take the liberty of making a suggestion, you come on the morrow, Captain Rawdon. Mrs. Bute won't be there to prevent you. The Reverend Bute cannot, and I will not. Now, do you understand?
By Jove, do. Owe you an apology. Been most rude, and all the time you come to help. I say, will Auntie see me?
I know she longs to, despite all the wicked, dreadful things Martha Bute says of you both.
But you say kind things, I'm sure.
No, sir.
What?
I'm not allowed in the sick chamber, save when Mrs. Bute is there, and then only for a little. Once, when Mrs. Bute fell asleep, I did creep in. But Matilda's always so fuddled with medicine, she understands nothing.
Then she'll be the same tomorrow.
No, sir.
You just said she's always.
Tomorrow, I shall see she's not given the medicines, most especially laudanum. Mrs. Bute has ordered me to give it, but I'll not.
What a dear, good soul you are. Tomorrow, when my Becky returns...
Where is Miss Becky, if I may ask?
At Queen's Crawley. When she returns, it may be we'll have the good news that Auntie has forgiven all. Think you it truly possible?
I do. I do.
And I as well. Betwixt the two of us, we'll outwit, outmaneuver, and bamboozle Martha Butte. Thank you, Miss Arabella Briggs. Thank you.
Large words, Captain. Larger hopes, sir. Dear listeners, it pains me to remind you that Mrs. Butte is a master of trickery herself. Monday? As Monday. Then, as now, I am your devoted, bespectacled servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.